Good day, everyone, everywhere, and special greetings to all those seated in heavenly places in Yahshua, Jesus, our Messiah. The name of this program is Cross the Border, and I'm Nicholas. And these days, we're continuing our trek through the Bible. We're going through the Bible, book by book, chapter by chapter, and verse by verse. And we've ended up here in Hosea, chapter 6, and verse 1. Come, and let us return unto the Lord. Of course, I'm reading from the King James Version. And as you know, the King James Version, they translated names into phrases or into phonetically incorrect names. And as a rule of translation and common decency, just out of respect for other peoples and other cultures, when a translator translates for someone, they don't restate the name in a different language. They restate names in the way that the name is phonetically pronounced in the language of the one being named. As many people, like in America, names don't mean very much in America. Most people name their children certain names just because they sound good, and some names have no meanings at all. Though most names in America today are traditional names, names that people are given because they're named after someone else. And as I said, most people don't know what the names mean that they're giving anyway, but they do have meanings. For instance, if you took my name, Nicholas Arthur, I didn't know what it meant. My parents didn't know what it meant. But I do know what it means because I searched into it. Of course, Nicholas is to rule or to lord over, something like that. You get the idea of ruling or lording over. And that's what Nicholas means. And, you know, for instance, if we go to the book of Revelation, the Messiah said something. He talked about the deeds of the Nicolaitans. And there they they didn't reinterpret the words there that he was saying. And, of course, the Nicolaitans is just the term Nicolaitans is derived from two words which are common today. One is my name, Nicholas, which means to rule over, and of course to rule over the laity. And so if you build up an institution and call it a church where you have a hierarchy, and you know you have a hierarchy if they're calling people things like archbishops, because the arch means to be lifted up, to be high in authority. So you're overarching. You know, so if you're an archbishop, you're a high ruling bishop. And so when you have that kind of government, that's the kind of thing that the Messiah was speaking about when he said, I hate the deeds of the Nicolaitans. So anyway, talking about names. And the other part of my name, Nicholas Arthur, of course, Arthur, is what means in the original tongue. It means to rise up to Thor. Of course, Thor is a pagan deity. So if you rise up to Thor, so you got a ruler rising up to Thor, and unfortunately, that's what my name means. There's not much I'm going to do about it. Of course, it doesn't mean that to me, but you know, just search into names, and they do have meanings. And perhaps, I would never name my child. Now that I know what those names mean, I would never give my children those names. So but anyway, talking about names and how it's wrong when you're translating for someone, to translate their name differently and phonetically different than they translated. Because after all, names don't have to follow any rules of grammar or literacy or spelling rules. You can spell a name any way you want, a proper name that is, and you can pronounce it any way you want, because that's the nature of names. And in the King James Version, of course, they changed the names. They took the name Yahuwah, and if you have your, we're in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1, and, you know, I'm not, some people call, derogatorily will call me a sacred namer, or someone who's into the sacred name movement. Well, you know, I'm not really into that sacred name movement because, you know, there is an extreme fringe of people who have learned the name, but they take it to an extreme because then they say, if unless you say the name correctly, you're not really addressing the Creator. Well, I don't believe that for a minute. Now, if I was in a crowded room and you started calling out, Bob, Bob, well, see, I'm Nicholas, so I wouldn't look. That's right. But see, I'm not God. You know, if you're calling out from a single point in the universe, that is wherever you're at, and you're calling out Jesus, or you're calling out God, or you're calling out Lord, and you're really calling on Him without using His name. See, He is God. He knows if you're really calling Him or not. You know, if you're crying out with a repentant heart, you know, if you're crying out because you have a standing with Him where you practice righteousness and reverence His law, it doesn't matter if you have it wrong, because He is God. And if you call Him Bob in a crowded room, He's going to know you're calling Him. See, because I'm not God. If you call me Bob in a crowded room, I'm not going to look. I might look because of the loudness of your voice or something, but I'm not going to look because I think you're calling me. But then again, see, I'm not all-knowing, but He is. So I'm not really going to worry about it. My job here is, if you go to my website, crosstheborder.org, you go look up there on the top of in the banner on the top, and you'll see crosstheborder.org, you'll see my name, and you'll see a little phrase there. It says, Biblical Studies. And that's what we're all about here. We're all about biblical studies. And part of the biblical studies is looking at the words in the original, in the Textus Receptus. Because if we only go by the English translation of the Bible, well, then, you know, we're not getting down to the Textus Receptus. We're not getting down to as close to the received word as we can. And even if I could fluently read Hebrew and Greek, and I could understand it fully as it was written, see, that's still not really the Textus Receptus, is it? It is the received text in the original language. That is true. But even the Scripture itself says the letter killeth, but it is the Spirit which giveth life. So we can't rely on the letter alone. Because I'll tell you what, unbelievers can read too. And they can read the Bible and it doesn't change them. Because their hearts are hard. Some of them read it looking to make accusations against the Creator. And some may get saved while they're trying to search it out or prove it wrong. And some will never, because their hearts are so hardened that they can never see the truth, the Spirit, behind the words. So I'm not one of those derogatorily termed sacred namers, but I am into biblical studies, so I'm going to point it out. And I believe that my job here, you know, as a Bible teacher, is to bring these things to light. So perhaps where people over hundreds of years have got used to saying, the Lord in place of His name, or they've got used to saying, you know, the Latinized Greek version of His name, Jesus, you know, instead of saying those things, perhaps in a couple hundred years, by my feeble effort here, and whoever else the Heavenly Father may call to join in this feeble effort, we may over a couple hundred years get a correction, where people will know His name. Yes, I'd say a couple hundred years, all of you left-behinders out there, all of you futurists who believe that Jesus is coming back in the next 7 years. Of course, He's been coming back in the next 7 years for the last, you know, since the beginning of the last century, according to them. but it is not so. I don't know. He could, but I wouldn't count on it, and I'm not counting on it. I'm going to live my life as if my great-grandchildren, unborn, are going to be here walking in my footsteps. I'm going to be building a godly heritage for them, and I'm going to live a life of obedience to my Heavenly Father so that they can learn from me what it means to follow Him. That's right, to learn to love God, and that is to live a life that's pleasing to Him. That's how He knows, and that's how we know that we love Him, because we desire to live a life that pleases Him. Now, if you don't desire to live a life that pleases our Heavenly Father, how can you say that you love Him? If you say that you don't have to keep His law because you're free, well, you know what Paul says. He said, don't use your liberty as an occasion for the flesh, because that's what people do. It's a temptation. If you love Him, you're going to dive into His Word, you're going to get into these biblical studies, and you're not going to be offended because I say Yahuwah, where His name is phonetically pronounced in the Hebrew, even though it says the Lord in the Authorized King James Version. You're not going to be offended. You're going to go, oh yeah, let me check into this. Or, you know, at least let me not be offended, or let me not hold it against the man, because he's trying to fulfill his mission. You know, and that's all I'm doing here, is fulfilling my mission. Biblical studies, that's my mission. My mission is to get out here and study this Bible and not to hold back anything. And when I see something like this, like the Lord has been replaced in place of His name more than 6,000 times, you know, once or twice, you know, then I would address it once or twice. But when you see something more than 6,000 times, just in the Old Testament alone, you see this error, this change. You realize, something's up here, you know, and something needs to be done about this. So we need to know His name. It's not Jehovah. It's not Yahweh. But if you search into it, and I have that little study, you know, that on my website, and a major part of that study was done by a good friend of mine, Troy Miller, so you can check him out too. He's a little more strict on the name than I am. He thinks it's wrong to use God or the Lord. He thinks it's wrong, but I don't go that far myself. I think that our Heavenly Father knows. He's more interested in the motivation of our heart. And the question is, what will you do with the truth when you find it? Will you reject it? Well, then you're going to harden your heart and get further away from Him. So don't reject these things. Search them out for yourself and go before our Heavenly Father. And you know what? The best name for Him is Father. That's right. Our Father. Our Heavenly Father. That's the best name. That's what He wants us to call Him. He wants us to be His children. You know, even Yahshua, Jesus said, unless you come as little children, you may not enter the kingdom of heaven. So let's have that relationship with Him. If it's uncomfortable for you to say the name Yahuwah, but I'm reading the scripture here and I see the Lord, and I can see, because plainly, you know, if you're reading your E-sword, and the little number there says 3068, I know that it is His name, and I know it's phonetically pronounced Yahuwah. So, anyway, we're in Hosea chapter 6 and verse 1, and, you know, what a beautiful verse this is, because, you know, this is the verse of my life, and perhaps it's the verse of many people's lives, and it gives us something to look forward to. Come, and let us return unto Yahuwah. Let us return unto the Lord. For He hath torn, and He will heal us. He hath smitten, and He will bind us. He is torn, not because He's mean. He is smitten, not because He hates us, but because He is just. Because He loves us. Imagine that. Because He loves us. You know, I grew up in America, and I was one of those strange children. That's right, strange children. Because I didn't follow the Creator. So I was strange to Him. And we're talking about that last time in our study in Hosea, how the Heavenly Father found the children of Israel and their children. He said, they are strange to me. Do you want your children to be strangers to God? Well, I was. I was a stranger to God. I was raised up by pagans in a heathenistic public school system. And everything that I saw in society, in television, on the radio, in television, you know, it was all about the idolatry of romance and all of the ideas of evolution. And it's interwoven in the movies and the TV programs and the hatred for God's law. And then you go to the public school system and they indoctrinate you in evolution again. And then you have all the songs and the pop hits on the radio because you're in the pop culture of the segregation of the public school system where they segregate everyone according to their peer group, according to their age. So your peers, the people in your age group are the greatest influence in your life. And of course they're all controlled by the culture and whatever's pop you learn. So we all listen to the idolatry of romance continually spewing over the radio, interlaced with Pepsi Cola and potato chip commercials, and then later beer, and all of that. And all of it added up to ungodliness. So we were strange, and we were smitten for it. We were torn for it, because it was the just due for our sins. You know, how can, if we reap to the wind, we reap the whirlwind. I mean, that's just the way it is. You reap what you sow, and that ain't karma, baby. You know, that's the law of God. Whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. But our Heavenly Father cries out through the prophet Hosea, come, let us return unto Yahuwah. Let us return to our Maker. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He has smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days, well, now we're going to jump back into, as much as I love that verse, we're going to jump back into the prophecy of Hosea, and in the day of Israel. Of course, this was before the captivity of Judah, before the disbursement of Israel for their own sins. And their children were growing up much like the children growing up in America today. They had a form of godliness, but they deny the power thereof. Yeah, they went to church every Sabbath day. They went to synagogue every Sabbath day. America goes to church every Sunday, their Sabbath day. They talk about God. It's all about Jesus, and it's all about evangelicalism. But at the same time, they teach that the law of God is nailed to the cross. And what is the power of any kingdom? The power of any kingdom is in its laws. So if you deny the law of God, are you not denying the power of his kingdom? What is a kingdom without laws? It's nothing. There's no power behind it. There's nothing to enforce. You have nothing. And vacuums are, you know, quickly filled. If you have a vacuum of law in your life, well, that vacuum will be filled by tyrants. And that's what's happening in America. Of course, we see that's what happened in Israel and Judah. The same thing. You know, if you're practicing lawlessness, then you're going to be taken advantage of. And you're going to have problems. You're going to be torn, and you're going to be smitten. And the sword of Yahuwah, the sword of the Lord, is whatever means by which he punishes sin. And even the righteous man will suffer the consequences of his sin in his flesh. That's right, even the righteous man. So it's better to repent as soon as you can to minimize the consequences in your flesh of your sinful ways. So if you deny the law of God, you have a form of godliness. You're going to church, but you're denying the law of God. You're allowing the pollutions of idols into your congregation. Yes, the setting up of trees and Easter bunnies and eggs and all of these things, all of this pagan idolatry, all of this pollutions of idols, because that's what it is. You know, it's well admitted. It doesn't need to be exposed anymore. Those who don't want to see it, they've already shut their eyes. Perhaps they'll open them later. I don't know. But we should not have the pollutions of idols. So all of these things, we've forgotten the law of God. So we have a form of godliness, but we deny the power thereof. And the power of his kingdom is in his law. He says he will write it upon our minds and our hearts. And that's in the New Testament, my friends. So how can it be dead? Why would you want a dead thing written on your law? I mean, on your mind and your heart. So anyway, back to Hosea, back to his days, and any parallels we find here between Israel and Judah, well, are quite fitting because of the times that we live in. So he says, come, let us return unto Yahuwah, for he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Then shall we know, if we follow on to know, Yahuwah. His going forth is prepared as the morning, and he shall come unto us as the rain, as the latter and former rain unto the earth. And having both the latter and the former rain is a blessing. And if you don't know where I live in the central California, if you miss one or the other, all you have is dry ground, and you don't even have grass for your animals. I guess most people can't identify that being city dwellers. Anyway, we're going into a break here quickly, and we'll continue in Hosea chapter 6 when we get back. Don't go anywhere. You're listening to Cross the Border.